What exactly that means is five people. With five people. It wasn't recording, right? Okay, so, but whatever it is, but the Rambam only has Matan Besimcha. Taisus wants saying Matan Besimcha is a good expression for business. For business. It means you do less business. How do you do less Simcha? It's a little bit harder to figure out. But at any rate, we can't say what the Rambam really meant by Mematan Besimcha, but whatever it is, either it means you reduce your like Taisha says, your business, and you completely do not engage at all in any kind of entertainment, or else perhaps the Rambam had some concept of being Mamayat Besimcha. I mean, like the Gemara says, that a person who is used to having fun with five people, so now he reduces it to three people. As long as there's a reduction, as long as there's an indication that there's a reduction in the simcha, that this is enough. It could be, but that's all the Rambam had with regard to 9 days. But then the Rambam says, then the Rambam comes to Shavuot Shechalbo. And Shavuot Shechalbo, the Rambam says, that the Shabbos, Shechol Tisha B'Av Lios Besocha, he says, also lasaper ulachabes velubosh kli meguot safilu kli pishton ashi yavaratinus. Okay. So there the Rambam says clearly what the halacha is, and as you know, Reb Chaim, the Brisker, defined it to mean that it's shloshim, basically, because gius is shloshim. So it's an isser of niyuk shloshim. An isser of niyuk shloshim. Then the Rambam goes on. He says, "Ukvar nogu Yisrael shelo lechol basa b'shabbosu." So, what is that? I mean, that has nothing to do with shloshim. So, and it's not basa v'yayin. Our meaning is basa v'yayin. Basa v'yayin is an inyan with regard to onan. Onan is also basa v'yayin. But the Rambam apparently had a different idea. Basa alone, maybe because of bittul atamid. Because Rambam says the bittul atamid bias region was in shivas v'tamos. So, Bein Amtsor, whatever. But again, the Rambam is not clear. It's not Basa V'yayin, it's only Basa. But at least we can find a source for it. I mean, Bit Latamid is mentioned. But then he says, V'lo yichnesu l'merchatz ad sheyavar atainus. You shouldn't go into the merchatz. So the question, what kind of an isser is that? I mean, Rechitz is only usher in Shiva. Rechitz is not usher in Shloshim. I mean, we have a minig to be noeg and issa rechitza in Shloshim. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zichron Lavrocha, he questioned that minig, whether people are still doing that minig. And on that basis, Rav Shechter mentions that the Rav said that he wanted Mata swimming in the 9 days. Because it's based on the fact that the 9 days are like Shloshim. And Shloshim, the minig is not to wash. But he says, Bizman Hazeh, then nobody keeps that minig anymore. So it doesn't apply. But the thing is that he probably is right that the minig is not kept because people wash lavra zuma. So if you wash lavra zuma, see, if the minig has to be not to wash, and then you could say that some people who are istanesim that they could wash lavra zuma. But you can't have if you have a whole call of istanasim, you can't have a minig. There's no minig anymore. So the istanas has to be the exception to the rule. But the minig has to be based on people that keep it. You can't say everybody's keeping it, and they only do it when they feel uncomfortable, because it's not a rechitza shaltainig. But there must be a minig of an issa rechitza. I mean, so that's probably where Moshe held that nobody does it anymore. Because everybody is knowing lahav razum, I read Shas. So therefore, there's no minig anymore. Okay, but at any rate, the question in the Rambam is, what is this halacha of lo yichnesu l'merchatz? So where does it come from?
Until we started.
What's that? Yeah. I can't hear. The question is, what kind of a minig is that? That would seem to defy the categorical analysis of the Rambam and follow the opinions of those who hold that all these things are not categories. And whatever they were, noig, they were noig. For instance, Sfira, during Sfira. So if you say, the question is, can you buy new clothes during Sfira? So if you say only those things, they answer, never answered buying the clothes. But if you're going to say it's a minig yud beis chodesh, so the minig in yud beis chodesh is not to buy new clothes. So then it'll be, then you won't be able to buy new clothes in, during sfira either. So that'll depend on how you learn. Some learn it's only those things that they accepted in specific. Others learn, but I mean, but the Brisker house learns, the house of Brisk learns that it's from a Chaim that it's categorical. So we're learning it's categorical. Categorical. What is the kind of thing is this? Okay, basa, you say, bitlatamit, but what kind of an idea is this, not going to the mechatz? What does that have to do with the chumna bias? Okay? All right, so that's the first question we start off with.
So we can ask you a question based on that?
Based on that, yes, me any question.
Yeah,
not based on that, don't
know. Think about the culture of salvation.
Yes.
Isn't haircutting usher until Achi Yigaba? So it seems like everybody, Achi Yigaba, will, in other words, nobody will hold a minig of, like, Yud Beis Chodesh. Somebody will always cut their hair before the Yud Beis.
What am I saying?
That is the minimum. It's not
Achi Yigaba. Achi Yigaba, that's the minimum.
Oh, the minimum is Achi Yigaba.
That's the
minimum. Not that you can't cut your hair.
No, the minimum is Achi Yigaba Chavero. And Achi Yigaba Chavero, that's Matir. So that's the way we know it. As a matter of fact, there's another sheet that holds that Achi Yigaba has to happen every time. That if you look bad after Shloshim, if you look bad after a month after Shloshim, you take a haircut, so you can't take a haircut again to Achi Yigaba. We don't pass it away. We pass only one Achi Yigaba. But you see, but that's a shear. That's a shear. That's the debt. The thing is that you should be a person that doesn't take a haircut until Yigaba Chavera. Okay? So that's a different kind of a thing. But if we're talking about a minik for a chitza, I assume that's how Rav Moshe knows the minig is bottle. I don't think he went around checking houses to find out whether the minig is bottle. So he must know, because people he knew derech klal, nobody goes for a month without a shower. But you have to, so you say everybody's an istinus. Lavra azuma is bottle. I mean, yeah, but then you have no minig anymore. Can't have, if you have a bunch of istinus, you have to have a minig of an istinus rechitza. Then you can say, the guy's that's halacha, but this is the this is not rechitza sheltainer. You can't have a minig that everybody washes every day, and it's not rechitza sheltainer. I mean, what is the more? There's no minig on rechitza. Okay, that's what it seems to me. Anyways, because I was wondering how he knew that we don't keep the minig, because the shulchan aruch is brought down. Yes.
Could it be the fact that everybody uses so name and they don't use hot water?
So what do you mean?
So it's not tainig, they don't use like hot water to like enjoy it, but it's just like everybody keeps the minig, they use cold water.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you keep the minig, use the cold. There's no heter to use cold water either. No, it's an israchitza. It's an israchitza. Cold, hot doesn't make any difference. Otherwise,
somebody has their mute button off. Please check your mute buttons. It's disturbing the shear.
Where are they recording? So I'm just saying. Is there any way you can't show from here?
Whoever just called into the system has to go off the system.
Okay, they went off. Okay. And don't tell anybody about this. All right. Okay. So the thing is that the thing is, okay, what were we talking about?
Talking about Sony.
I mean, can you repeat the question again, please?
Talking about Sony.
Yeah, I know. Okay, what was the question?
Rabbi?
Yeah. The question?
Can you just repeat it, please?
Now, all I said was one thing. Had Rav Moshe Soloveitchik know there's no minik for Shloshim? The Shulchan Aruch was brought down. They went checking from house to house. So I said what my answer was, that you can't, let's say you have istinasin, a tzibor of istinasin, you can't have a minig not to do rechitza, and they're all going to do it because it's not rechitza shel tainig. There's no minig on rechitza. So if you're going to say everybody washes, if everybody takes a shower in cold water during shloshim, because just lahavir razum, but the iser is rechitza. Rechitza doesn't matter cold or hot, otherwise you'd be allowed to go swimming in 9 days, because it's cold water. So, but the issus rechitza bein lacham and bein betzonin. The reason why they do it betzonin is because they don't want rechitza shel tainug, and warm is more tainug, so they just do betzonin lahav razuma. But my svara is that if everybody does lahav razuma, there's no minig anymore, because the minig is issus rechitza. Nobody's keeping it. Okay. That's how I assume Rav Moshe Soloveitchik knew they don't keep the minig. Because how do you know? How does he know they don't keep the minig? Everybody's brought down. Okay. Okay.
Just turn down the volume. You won't hear anything.
Okay, which volume?
Turn down the volume. You won't hear anything.
That's a better system. Is that the van that goes out or the van that comes in?
I have no idea.
I think probably the van that comes in. That's the volume going out?
No.
Coming when they call in, the volume's low.
So we
that's okay.
Questions.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, no questions. Okay. Okay. All right. So what I wanted to do was, so the question was mechatz. What I wanted to find out was, what is the answer to that idea of mechatz? But in doing so, I went into an old problem. The old problem is Suda Mafsekas. What is Suda Mafsekas all about? So the Rambam gives his Suda Mafsekas in Perkei Alochates. He says, Avo chasidim arishonim kachayim idoson, erev tishbo v'mevien lo tanor v'kirayim v'ochlo v'shosa ole akiton Pascha, I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Mevien lo odom levado, alone apparently, no company. Pascha revo b'melach, dried bread with salt, v'shora b'mayim, which means it was so dry, he had to dip it in water in order to make it edible. The Yoshev bein Tanur v'kirayim v'ochlo v'shosa oleo akiton shel mayim bedago v'shmama v'vchiyo k'mishem mesam mutlafanef k'zer roi l'chacham lasos okar of mizah u'miyameinu lo achal na'ar v'tishbav tafshil afilo shel adashim alim kin hoi b'shavos. And the Ram didn't have a meal before either, so he had no time, not even the tafshil. Okay, that's what Rambam Suda Mafsekas. But what is the key word in the Rambam of Suda Mafsekas? The key word is Misha Mesa Mutlafanov. Okay? Bedaigo Vishmamon Uvechia Kemisha Mesa Mutlafanov. So when you have Misha Mesa Mutlafanov, what does it automatically mean? Aninus. And the Rambam before, for the regular populace, where he formulates Suda Mafsekas, he says, okay, so he mentions that there shouldn't be any bus of a yayin in Suda Mafsek Ba, right? Why? Simply, same thing, aninus, and onin is also in bus of a yayin, okay? So it comes out that Tisha B'Av begins with the aninus of the Suda HaMafsekas, and because the nature of tainus is abstention, to abstain, it's not a positive entity, so therefore you're abstaining from something. So the Suda, the last meal that you eat, is the point of departure and marks the abstention. So that's why the Suda HaMafsekas gets drawn into the tainus, and it's called Suda Tisha B'Av. Okay, that's because of the conceptual idea of a tainus. A tainus is a privation. It's an abstention. Abstention means abstaining from something. So therefore, the Suda Mafsekas, Suda Shemafsek Ba, the Suda which is the mark of your abstention. Because without Suda, there's no abstention. Okay? So if that's the case, everything is fine. There's only one problem. The problem is that Suda Mafsekas should be a chiyuv. Because you want to begin the Avelos of Tisha B'Av with Aninus. So Suda Mafsekas should be a Chiyuv. But the Rambam doesn't say it's a Chiyuv. The Rambam says, B'med V'Rambam Morim Shochel Erev Tisha B'Av Achachatzos. That's when you have the Dinim of Suda Mafsekas. Avolim Sod Kodem Chatzos. Afa Pishu Mafsik Bo, even though he's Mafsik with that Suda. Ochel Kol Mashi Yirtza. Everything. The erev Tishba Shechol is b'Shabbos like this year. Ochel v'shasa kol tzarka mal shechana fil gesuda shlomo. Okay, the chen Tishba b'asma shechol is b'Shabbos. Ein emachasakon. Okay. So apparently that's a firm. If you only had the case of Shabbos, you'd say, okay, yes, sure, what are you going to do? But you see in the Ram himself that there's no chiyah for suda mafsekas. So the question is, what happens to the aninus? Why not? That's the question. Okay? So that's the question I wanted to answer. I don't believe there's any source that says you have to have a Suda Masechet. I don't see it. The Gemara doesn't have it either. But it's an interesting Gemara. Now, the Gemara says like this. Gemara is on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph and Tainus. Gemara says, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Gemara goes to Suda Mafsekas. Tanya Kalish Nakam, Erev Tishbav, Layoch Lanshne Tafshilin, Layoch Abbas Layish the Yayin, Rav Shimon Gamliel Ome Yishana. Amav the Ketz Mishana, Yorog Lechol Sne Tafshilin Yachol Minechle. Dima Yorog Lissel Basar Bene Adam, Sad Bahamisha, Yorog Lishosa Sarkosos, Shosa Hamisha. Bamed Vamur Mishay Shosalamilov, Mishay Shosalamata Mutter. Okay. So that was one sheet that was you might. That was one sheet that was the Suda Mafsekes. There's no technical isurim, but it's a subjective thing. Whatever you used to do, do a little less. Okay. Then you have Tanya Yidach. Erev Tisha B'av LaYochel Adam Shnei Tafshin LaYochel Basa LeYish LeYayin Divrei Meir. Chomim Yeshana Mamayit BeBasa VeYayin Ketzem Mayim Rogel Lachal Litra Basa Yed a pound of meat Yochel Chatzil Litra. Hoya Rogel Lishdas Lug Yayin Yishte Chatzil Lug. A quarter wine, drinks a half a glass, half a pint. The main a rug will call liquor, and if he does not used to do any of these things, awesome. Okay. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Amoya rug lechol snon emlech achasudas or shusbiyada. So that, it seems achasudas is not part of this whole union. The whole union is only Suda Masekes. But achasud is not netfas in this halacha. Then he goes on. Tanyida, kol shehu mishum Tisha B'Av. Everything that's because of Tisha B'Av, which means Suda Mafsekes of Tisha B'Av, also lechol basav, also lishtos yayin, also lirchots. Okay, there he brings in a new iser that if it's because of the Suda Mafsekes of Tisha B'Av, that it's also lirchots as well. It's also birachitza. Kol she'ainu mishum Tisha B'Av mutar lechol basav lishtos yayin, also lirchots. If it's not a time of Tisha B'Av, so then it's mutar in all these things. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Yomem Mishum Aviv, Kol Shosha Mutter Lecho Basar, Mutter Lirchatz. So Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi says that as long as it's Mutter in Achilas Basar, it's Mutter in Rechitza. So Rashi explains. Rashi says that Kloma, Filu B'Shah Suda Mafsekes, Mutter Lirchatz, Hol Mutter Lecho. Since B'Shah Suda Mafsekes is Mutter Lecho, it's still not the Tainus, so it's Mutter Lirchatz as well. Okay. So the question, of course, is what kind of an Isser Rechitza? What kind of an Isser Rechitza? What does it mean? Mean that the moment you start Suda Mafsekes, so now there's it's a new time zone, and the tainus has begun, and it's an Isser Rechitza? It doesn't make any sense. Okay? What kind of an Isser Rechitza could you have in Suda Mafsekes? I mean, I started eating, so now I can't take a shower now. I mean, why? What was? I mean, of course, we don't paskin that way. But there was a Tana that held that way. There has to be some sense to it. What's the Isser Rechitza? So that's what I wanted to say. The Isser Rechitza stems from what the concept of Suda Mafsekes is. In Suda Mafsekes, since Suda Mafsekes is Suda's Tisha B'Av, it means the Gavra has involved himself in the Tainus. He's involved himself in the Tainus. It's not because of time zone. There's no time zone of Suda Mafsekes. But it means the Gavra is Osuk B'Tainus. So if he's Osuk B'Tainus, it's true, he's eating, strangely enough, but it's still, he's Osuk B'Tainus. And if he's Osuk B'Tainus, so then certain halachas fall upon him. So the Manda Omar that holds that there's an Isser Rechitza, okay, that holds that there's an Isser Rechitza. What does he hold falls upon him? The Avelis of Tisha B'Av. That's what he holds.
What about the shoes apply as well?
The shoes is a good question. The shoes, I don't believe that. What I believe, I guess, that it'll be usher to do Tashmish Amitah, Sikha, and What are we skipping there? And Rechitz is Usher. But Nidos HaSandal will be Usher. Simply, he's not going anyways. There's no Nidos HaSandal. You know what I mean? He's not walking anyways. He's Yoshev. So there's no concept of Nidos HaSandal. But that's why it doesn't mention Nidos HaSandal. But it seems to me that Rechitza means everything. It means the Suri Avelis of the Tainus. So this Mandama holds that since the Gavra is involved in the Tainus via Suda Mafsekis, so the Isuri Avelis of the Tainus have begun already. Okay, and that's why it's Asa Berchitza. We don't hold that way. Okay? Yeah. But what do we hold? What about the Mandama that holds Yemayit? Where does he fit into the picture? Okay? What kind of a concept is Yemayit? So I believe that halacha of Yemayit is really borrowed from the Rambam. I mean, it's a halacha of Bezman HaGemara, but the Rambam quotes it. The Rambam in Perek Aleph in Hilchos Tainus says, Kol Ashori B'Tainus, Bein Shoyim Esana Al Tzoroso Al Chalomo Bein Shoyim Esana Im Atzibor Al Tzorosom Hareze Lo Yino Gidunim Ba'atzmo V'lo Yekal Rosho V'lo Yisameach V'tov Lev Eladoeg va'onein, ki'inin shenema mayis onein odom chai, gever al chatov. Okay? So it means to say that a person that's a shori b'tainis should not be noeg yidunim b'atzmo. Shouldn't do things that give him pleasure, extra pleasure, comforts, his usual comforts. Shouldn't involve himself in that. That's why it says at Tishba at nighttime that a person, if he sleeps with two pillows, should sleep with one pillow. All these halachas. Because Hashori B'tainis is Lo Yino Giduna Batzmo. So that's the first Tana. The first Tana maintains that Yemayit, what does Yemayit mean? Yemayit means since he's Osuk B'tainis, he's involving himself in Tainis. Why? Because he's involving himself in Sudam Mafsekes. So he's a Shori B'tainis. So he shouldn't be Noa Gidunim. Noa Gidunim means that's a subjective thing. Depends on what is he doing on. So that's why it says, if he eats this much, he eats half as much. If he eats with this many people, he eats with less people. It's all the basic concept of lo yino gidunim ba'atzmo. And ashori b'tainis is lo yino gidunim. Okay? That explains that mandama. Okay?
What is the Rambam of the Igunim?
Rambam's paragalaf alach yadala. Okay. Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Is there a difference that's going to that mandama? You're saying it's a din of idunim, which is a tainus idea. But before, when you were talking about the other mandama that you can't do rechitza, you were saying avelus. Is there a difference?
What do you mean?
There is one coming from an aspect of the yom as the yom tainus as opposed to avelus.
One is coming from yeah, obviously. If you say avelus, you mean you're straddling him with hilchas avelus of Tisha B'Av. If you say Idunim, it's simply because he's a gavra that's a shari b'tainis. He's a gavra that's a shari b'tainis. Okay?
That will be the subjective one of
Yeshana. What? Subjective one of Yeshana. Exactly. Did we mention anything more yesterday? What? Which sheet is that?
Mr. Middle Sheet.
It's a three-way
middle sheet.
Mr. Middle Sheet of what?
Oh,
you mean this one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yes, that's correct. And what is our shita over here? Our shita is that there's only an issa bus of a yayin in Suda Mafsekes, correct? We don't have any issa rechitza. So what does it mean? It means that for us, the fact that the gavra is involved in the tainus means the gavra is involved in the aninus of the tainus, in the din aninus, only aninus. So you have basically three shitas. You have, when the gavra is involved, is it a din of aninus? Is it a din of aninus and what? And avelus. Or is it only a shori b'tainus and subjectively lo yino gidunim ba'atzmo? Okay? Alright. So now I want to say one thing that I think answers the question of Suda Mafsekes. And that is that on Tisha B'Av itself, it's not just a din of avelus. But it's a din of aninus as well. Okay? Din of aninus as well. that both halachas really exist side by side in Tisha B'Av. Okay? That, and it makes sense. Why? Because you have Sreifas on Migdash. You have Sreifas on Migdash. Sreifas on Migdash. Sreifas Beis Alekenu. Ein loch Mesa Mutlafana of Yosem Yisrael. I mean, that's Mesa Mutlafana of Mamash. So how could you say on Tisha B'Av there's no aninus? Doesn't make any sense. And the raya is that you see it's osir and bus of a yayin until chatzos tomorrow. Why? Because the Migdash burnt until chatzos. So you see that Sreifas on Migdash is aninus. And there's no reason why the Avelu should cancel out the aninus. So that's what I want to say, that on Tisha B'Av it's aninus and Avelus existing side by side. Now you understand the Suda Mafsekes. In the Suda Mafsekes, it means the Gavra is involving himself as a Gavra in the Tainus. So the only Machlekes, the three-way Machlekes is, insofar as what is the Gavra involving himself? Is he involving himself merely as a Shori B'Tainus? So if that's the case, then it's Yamayit. Is he involving himself simply as what? As in the Aninus of the Tainus? So then it's a bus of a yayin. Okay? Is he involving himself not just in the aninus of the tainus, but in the avelus of the tainus? So then he's osur berachitza as well. And in the four inuyim. Okay? That I think explains the mystery of the Suda Mafsekes. So is it a chiyuv to do Suda Mafsekes? No. You don't have to usher in Tisha B'Av with a precursor of aninus. There's no halacha like that. In Tisha B'Av itself is aninus. But if you do Suda Mafsekes, then you're engaging the tainus. And once you engage the tainus, now the question is, which element of the tainus did you engage? Did you engage the avelus of the tainus only? I mean, the aninus of the tainus only, or the avelus also? That's a machlekes. Or just the shari b'tainus. Well, you need to do the batzma. Okay? Yes?
When it talks about the shari b'tainus, well, you need to do the Gemara, it seems to give examples exactly half. Is that specific, that it has to be half, or just general? As an example of Eli. Because Gemara, all the cases are, dafka
chatzi. Meaning the Gemara's choose dafka half. Well, apparently the Gemara held, if you just... I think what the Gemara means is that it has to be a reduction that makes a difference to them, qualitatively. You know what I mean? Like, if you just... It's not a Maisa Balma. Certain things, you know, is a Maisa Mitzvah. That's it. I took off Truma, Midoraisa, just a drop. And, but the... over here won't work. Because over here really is the Niyug of the Gavra. So the nigga of the gavra. So therefore, it has to bother him. Or it has to be a shinui that it bothers him. So a person that eats a pound of meat for dinner every night, eats a half a pound, it bothers him. I mean, he's missing a chunk. You know what I mean? And the same thing with the yayin. You know, a person who's drinking a bottle of wine, he drinks a half a bottle, he's limited. It has to bother him. That's what I think the Gemara is saying. That the idunim. The Yidunim have to disturb him. He doesn't have the Yidunim. Yes?
Could you explain how the Rambam's
Excuse me? Between the ovens? Oh, one second. Hold on. Maybe we'll go into that. But now I think we can answer the Rambam. Did I mention anything? Did I leave anything out from yesterday?
I mentioned one thing. The reason she told us Aninus is because that's exclusively belief.
Yeah. Our sheet is Aninus. Why is our sheet Aninus? Because it makes sense. Because I ain't aninus ela belief. So when the gavra is involving himself in the tainus, so it makes sense to restrict it to the lathe. So therefore it's aninus alone, but not hilchas avelus. Hilchas avelus is a whole system. But what I want to point out is like this: that over here, and see, this is avelus yeshana. And Avelus Yishona is different than Avelus Chadasha. Avelus Chadasha, Aninus, and Avelus can't exist possibly side by side. Why? Because Aninus is Mesa Mutlafanov. And Avelus begins the moment you have Kvura. So, and what is Kvura? Kvura is exactly a Mesa Mutlafanov. It's the undoing of Mesa Mutlafanov. So that's why the moment, by stimas agolel, the moment you have, it's not mesa mutlafanov anymore, kvura is completed, so now all hilchas avelus commence, they all start. But that's by avelus chadasha, an irregular avelus. But an avelus yeshana is a whole different system. You see, over there, there's no kvura and commencing of avelus. It's ideas. It's ideas. It's concepts. It's events. So the event is nothing, no tar to the sasri with relating to the event, both Bataras Mesa Mutlafanov and Bataras Avelis also. See, like the Rav said, the Aninus.
And
Mincha,
you also have
Nechama. Like the Rav said, that Aninus, you can't put a mitzvah on it because he's too far gone, he's too overcome by his emotions. You see. That's by Avelis Chadasha. But Avelis Yishana, you see, it's not true. So
people still don't have any buttons on. Please engage them, you know, immediately. Please. It's disturbing everybody. Thank you.
I can't hear. So by Avelis Yishana, you don't have that Tarte de Sasri, you don't have that whole time frame. It's not a time frame. So what they did with Avelis Yishana was they borrowed the concepts from Avelis Chadasha, but they reapplied them in a way that's appropriate for the framework of Avelis Yishana. So Avelis Yishana is not Tarte de Sasri to have Aninus and Avelis existing side by side. Yeah. So now we can explain the Rambam on what's the Isser of Merchatz. What's the Isser Merchatz in the Rambam? Okay. See, the Isser Merchatz in the Rambam. The Isser Merchatz in the Rambam is based on the fact that, you see, there's an interesting thing. In our Suda HaMafsekes, basically. In our Suda HaMafsekes, so what do we have? You have an Issa Achilles Basar Shia Yayin, right? So, it's Aninus. So it's Aninus. And that extends till after the Tainus. But there's one thing also. You have Shnei Tavshilin. What is Shnei Tavshilin? What is Shnei Tavshilin? So you see that Shnei Tavshilin is a halacha of Lo Yina Gidunim Batzma. So you see that according to the shita that holds that it's aninus, you certainly hold that the first shita, namely that what? That shari batainus, lo yina giduna batzma. Lo yina giduna batzma, you see. So the Rambam's merchatz was, the Rambam's merchatz was. The Rambam's merchatz was that that from shavur shechalbo lo yina gidunim batzma. Because the merchatz was really the mark of idunim. That's what merchatz was basically. Merchatz was where people went to luxuriate, and the bathhouses, the Roman bathhouses. So that's why the Rambam held that from Shavuot Shechalbo there's an iser nogu shelolelech lemerchatzos. That's the nil. That's the minyan. That's the minig. Okay, the minig is that's the Rambam. Okay, basically that's it. We didn't miss anything? Okay. That's basically it. Okay, any questions?
No, I had the writer you liked about the Rambam talks about himself.
Yeah, oh, somebody asked me. You mean the Yoshev Ben Tana Lekirayim? So all these things are the same concept of avoidance of Nihugim. Idunim. Nihugim of Idunim. Avoidance of Nihugim of Idunim. Yes?
When you explained before, there's Ali, the Dunam by the Suda Masik Buzz, because the Gabra is already husband in the Tainus. So, how did the Minig get extended further out?
What do you mean? Okay.
So, is it just a minute they just extended it further?
What are you asking me?
Why
by Shavuot?
Because it's the Shavuot that is Shavuot.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, you see that our minig is not to drink basar yayin from the 9 days, which is basically an extension of Shavuot Shechalba, right? So why is that? because apparently we extend the aninus. We extend the aninus. So we extend the aninus really, the minig, that's a minig. In other words, the real din aninus, midinah de Gemara, is in the Suda Mafsekes. But the minig is to extend the aninus all 9 days. Okay? So apparently that so apparently the Rambam held that you extend the niyug of Shori Batinus in Shavuot Shechalbo. That's really the machlokes between the Rambam's minig and our minig. They both extend something from the character of the Tainus. But we extend from the character of the Tainus the concept of what? Aninus. And they extend the concept of Shor B'Tainus should not be Nohig, the Nihug of Idunim. Well, Yinhug Idunim Batzma. That's the Machlekes rule. Those are the two Menorah. Okay.
The way he did it and the way we do it.
The way the Ram did it and the way we do it. Right. Yeah, what can you talk about there?
You said that that was for a guy like the Rambam.
Yeah, well, let's push it. Okay. Yes. The Avelus should come after Tisha B'Av. The Rav one time spoke about that. I believe the Rav addressed that question. Why it doesn't go Aninus, Avelus, and Shiva and Shloshim. But that's because the Rav said Avelus is Shana. Because Avelus is Shana, you have to get into it. You have to move towards the ideas. So that's why the Rav one time spoke about that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Somebody asked me a question. Yeah. What was your question? You had a question. Did you have a question? Somebody asked me a question yesterday, sure.
The only question was Ellie had about Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av.
Okay, that one I remember. Okay. Any other question?
No, I made a point about Miyamenu. Why did the Rambam have to tell you about his own thing?
Yeah, so what was it?
He said it was a law from the Gavra.
You mean, you mentioned why does the Rambam have to say Miyamenu lo achalnu?
He's not a bragger.
I mean, yeah, he's not bragging. I mean, that's not the halacha. That's the, so a person that's on that level will know to do that. And the Rambam won't do it. So yeah, it was this, right? So you want to say very well that the reason is because he wants to show you that it's Allah in the Gavra involved in the Tainus, and since it's Allah of the Gavra being involved in the Tainus, so a different Gavra is a different involvement. A different Gavra is a different involvement. That's very good, very very good point. Okay.
For the Shara Am, they don't have the same issue. They're Am reading of just bread and water.
That's correct. That's correct. Somebody asked me a question on. I want to hear again. I knew there's one more raya. The raya I wanted to bring was because the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says kolochol v'shosu be Tisha B'Av is ain a robus mukhasa. Okay. And that's one statement. One statement is ochel v'shosu Tisha B'Av. Then there's another statement that kova ochel bosa v'shosu yayim b'Tisha B'Av. All of akosav omer v'tiyav onosam avatzmosam. Okay. So what is ochel bosa v'shosu yayim b'Tisha B'Av? So Rashi says it means besuda hamafsekas. Okay. So what does it mean? So it means that's what it means. It means, but it says b'Tisha B'Av. You see, because in Tisha B'Av there is aninus. You see, the Gemara doesn't say Bar of Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says but Tisha B'Av, because in Tisha B'Av there is a kiyum of aninus. But the only way you could do something to break that kiyum of aninus is to be ochel basar and shosa yayin in suda hamafsekes. You see, because that's when the gavra is involved in Tisha B'Av. So that's why the Gemara used that lashon. Kol ochel basar shosu yayin b'Tisha B'Av. How could you be an ochel basar shosu yayin b'Tisha B'Av? It's not possible. So it means b'Suda Mafsekes. So why does the Gemara say b'Suda Mafsekes? Why does it leave it to Rashi to tell you that? The answer is because there is aninus in Tisha B'Av. But the only way to break the aninus of Tisha B'Av is to, how do you break aninus? You have to be ochel basar shosu yayin. You can't. So then you're breaking the tainus. No, you could break the aninus of Tisha B'Av without breaking the tainus. By Suda Mafsekes, So you're being destroying the aninus of the Yom HaTeshuah B'Av, and yet you're not breaking the tainus. You're not breaking the tainus. So that's why the Gemara says that there's two ways to be involved. One is to eat. Okay, the guy breaks the tainus. That's a gross violation, infraction. But even if you don't do that, but you mevatel the aninus shebelev of Tisha B'Av by being ochel basar v'shoseh yayin b'erev Tisha B'Av b'suda hamafsekes shebar, that is, so then you're also being mevatel the whole concept of being mitzayir, of being misabel alachor. Okay. All right. Yeah, somebody mentioned the Rush to me. The Machlek is tonight with Avdolah. So the Rush brings down the Ramban, says that there's no Avdolah. Yeah, Mendy mentioned. So, yeah. So the Rush maintains... Okay, what's that? The Rush maintains that there's no Havdalah tonight. I mean, the Ramban maintains no Havdalah tonight altogether. Because he says that since you were putter, since last night you couldn't... Ramban says, Ramban, yeah. But the Rush is, we're not like the Rush. We make Havdalah. Okay, but the question was like this. They raised the question to the Rush like this. Pamachos Rabbeinu Yehuda Onan. V'ochel below Havdalah. Ulamacharas, Rav Yehuda was known and he ate without Avdallah. Ulamacharas, Kashabami, Besakvaras, Amalot Tamid of Lama Incha Osa Avdallah. Amrin and Tom Avdil, even though you're Tom, but you still could do Avdallah. They should let me Achashaya Potter, Emesh, Bishas Avdallah, Mishum Shayon, and Gamatanami Potter. Okay? So, she came at Sinapak, Kamal Chagiga, Chiga Biam Rishim, and Espash Biam Shani, Kinishitha Biam Rishim, Shavana, and Chai Vashani. So, why don't you say the same thing over here? That he's an onan. So you see, the question is based on our concept because he was an onan on Saturday night. Last night we were on him, and that's why we're putter. So how does the chiyuv come back? Okay, but listen carefully to what he says. He says v'lo domi kuli hai, not exactly the same. Why? Dehasam gufei havi dochli. The onan putter mikola mitzvahs the dom lechiger, aval hachab gufei mechayev vazman gorim she'ein yochel lahavdul ukeshi yavar azman yavdul v'chein nagu am kedivrei halachas gedolos. So what does he mean? He means he is we are owning him. He's not denying. He says lo dom kuli hai. Why? But he means there's a difference between an onan in avelus chadasha and an onan in avelus yeshana. And onan in avelus chadasha, he's really pata mikola mitzvahs. So once he's pata, he can't bring it back. But an onan in avelus yeshana is not pata mikola mitzvahs. Because you see, he does all the mitzvahs today. Davins, lays the Torah, he's also going to avelus. So he does all the mitzvahs. The only thing is that there's a kiyum aninus vis-a-vis the chorban abayas. So he says, that is not a ptur. So therefore, you're really chayiv in Avdallah. You're really chayiv in Avdallah. So since you're chayiv in Avdallah, but the only thing is you can't do it, so that's why, balayla yechayiv. That's the Rush. That's the Rush answer. But you see from the Rush's answer, on the contrary, that he basically, he more or less agrees with us in the concept of the, that there's a din onan on Tisha B'Av. Yeah. What's that? And that's why tonight, even though there's aninus tonight, still you make Avdallah. Why? Because this aninus doesn't part from mitzvahs. So even if, what? It's a different aninus. Aninus of El Shishana.
Start of
Tisha B'Av
is the same
aninus
as after
Tisha B'Av
and Yuchatzos next day. Why couldn't we do Avdallah in the beginning?
No, because of the tinus.
Okay, so why don't we...
It's not...
Well, there are people that give the cost to the child. They do Avdallah and they give yain to a child.
Okay, so what do I know? Why we don't do that?
Yeah.
We're not naive like that. I mean, we will.
Is there an intrinsic problem with doing that?
You mean with giving it to the child? I mean, there are those that do that. I'm not going to. It's a different shita. It's a shita. Okay. Yeah. I mean, why we didn't accept that shita?
Agav, what do you do tonight?
What do you mean? What do you do tonight? You just do Abdullah. That's it. Abdullah.
On the
Oh, you mean because of the. No, that you could definitely use yayin. Tonight you could definitely use yayin. That's for sure. Because it's yayin shel mitzvah. Yain shel mitzvah is not us. So you can make bar pirkei. What?
The Ramban held.
You mean what did the Ramban hold? The Ramban held not because he's potter. The Ramban would never say that. I mean, he agrees with the Rosh. But what the Ramban held was he had his svaras, like he mentioned his svar. He says because betfila kavua betfila. First they were kavay avdala and tfila. Heshiru kavua lakos. They became wealthy, so they put it on the coast. Chazru v'henu. So, okay, more goes on. The Tisha B'Av shechol yos motzoi Shabbos kol Yisrael aniyim merudim. So he wants to say that all kol Yisrael is in the category of aniyim. So since we're in the category of aniyim, what's wrong? I don't hear anything. Okay. So since we're in the category of aniyim, so he holds that there's no takon al hakos. There's no takon al hakos. That's what he holds. But, I mean, that's a big chiddush. That's a big chiddush in the Ramban. To say that there's no chi of al hakos because we go back to the status of when they were aniyim, so they weren't, so chazru, when they became aniyim again, so they took it off the coast. So you see, I guess Ramban is trying to show that it's contingent on the condition. Because from the Gemara's mashmah, it's contingent on the condition. So as the condition changes, the chi of Avdol changes. So he wants to say that last night, since we're all considered like aniyim, so the chovas Avdol is mufka. I mean, that's a big chiddush.
If you forget, according to that, forgot the atachon tano and tefillah.
Yes.
Should you say it again, Shema Kolein, according to Ramban? Because
you can't
just like goes back to what it used to be.
And what's halacha? Halacha is if you get your say in
Shema Kalinu,
huh? I thought
we said you don't say in Shema Kalinu
because
you could say later on
halakos. Oh, because you could say later on halakos.
Right.
No,
I think
it's
not real
bakasha. Because it's not real bakasha. But I forget, it's something there.
That's when you say tefillah over.
What? Yeah, so what's the question?
I thought it was the reason
the
Gemara gives
is
because you can say it later on.
Say al hakos. I think he's right. I think he's right. Because you say al hakos.
Maybe
you
have to repeat
Shmon Esrei. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, would you have to repeat Shmon Esrei last night, according to the Ramban? It's a good shout for the Ramban. Okay. Yeah. What? What's that? Aninus asa rechitza? No. Now we're no egg that you don't do rechitza aninus, but meikar din aninus, no way to rechitza aninus. Yeah, that's enough. That's the case of enough. That's right. That's the case of enough. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So you mean, is rechitza asa tonight? No, rechitza not asa tonight. Oh, no. No way to rechitza aninus. Only bus of yayin. That's it. That's the only issue. Okay. Yeah. In Havdalah? You mean tonight? I mean, after a Revius, you can certainly drink. What? Yeah, once you see it. A reverse.
You walk away and then come back.
Right. Yeah, if you're mafsik, it would be a problem, yeah. That's right. Once you see it, yeah. Okay. So, you don't have to measure. I mean, it's Yayin Shel Mitzvah, that's basically it. Okay. Then somebody asked me a question on the Maimar Chazal over here. That the Maimar Chazal...
The, the Mishnah Berurah brings down the other things that you don't do during the 9 days, you don't do until Chatzos.
Yeah, you mean Yitzhak Kibbutz?
He says, avoid the interval of your coat, be mirchat, lisape, or chabez, ad chatzos.
I know, but take a look at the Bir Halacha now. See? Yeah, the Bir Halacha knocks it out. Because it doesn't make any sense, because it's really, the Bir Halacha, what's the meaning of that? Tafkuf Nun Ches, the Bir Halacha, because is it the Ramah says, right? Is it the Ramah or Mishnah Berurah?
Mishnah
says he shouldn't do the other things too. It brings down from the Achrona, but then the Bir Halacha says that he argues it brings down those that are going on. Because and he seems to agree in Svara with them. He doesn't want to be Matal Halacha, because that's his style. He doesn't want to go against those that answer. But in Svara, he seems to hold clearly that it's that basically it's there's no issur of kibbutz begadim or other things. I mean, or rechitza. I mean, it's just the issur aninus, just the issur basavian. What does
he say?
Says
that still awesome.
Give me the Bir Halacha. You have to read. You're not reading it right.
Okay, unless I'm not reading it right.
He says, "Mimashka susim kufna asa mashma daaf mi mina kasha lo asa ella bebasu v'yayin avolenin rechitza v'tasparis lo hachmiru umatzasi la rav hashyuri shehiter gamken at kamashana." That's it. So you see, it brings down. That's basically all that's a shita. When we come, kasha lahakol b'zeshakama achronis manenu atika davaz alamaisa. So he says it's kasha lahakol, but he really would be, in svara he yells that they're right. I mean, is that what he says now? Look at it again. Okay. In svara he yells they're right, but he doesn't want to make a lamaisa because that's the style. You know, that's the Mishnah Berurah style. He doesn't want to make a lamaisa because a lot of achronim say it's awesome. But Mikar Din in Svari also is mutter because it's only Aninus. It's only Aninus. It's very hardy go from Aninus to Avelus. It's only Aninus. What? I didn't see the Aruch HaShulchan. I didn't see it. It's a good idea to take a look at it. See what it says.
I think he brings it down also.
He brings it down also.
Jeff, do you want to know all the extra strings? Us or Mutter?
Us.
We didn't want to hear that. Should have left it up in the air.
He's not the best guy. He depends on the minarets.
He depends on the what?
Who's that? He defends all the minarets, really? I don't know, it depends. It depends on how he goes. He's pretty original, though. Yeah, there's Rav Megal. Yeah. Okay, so somebody asked me a question. They said the member of Shimon Gamliel, Kol ochel v'shosu v'tishabov, kilo ochel v'shosu b'yom ha-kippur. What does that mean? I mean, how could it be? How could it be? I mean, if a person had to be over an Avera, I mean, breaking a tainus, he'd rather do it in Tisha B'Av than Yom Kippur. I mean, how can you compare it? What is the meaning of the Gemara? So somebody asked me that question yesterday. I was thinking about it. I was thinking of the Rambam in the beginning of tainus. Another question somebody asked me. Rambam in the beginning of tainus. Says like this: Mitzvah Saseim in Atara Lizok Ulahariya Bachatzotros Al Kol Tzora Shetov Al Tzibur. Okay, so it's a Mitzvah Saseim Torah to do Zaka and Chatzotros. And he says Shenema Al Tzara Tzara Shem Barosim Bachatzotros. Kloma Kol Davar Sheyetsa Lachem Kigam Batzoros VeDever VeYarbek Yotzben Zaku Aleim Variu. And then he goes on. He says Dovzem Midake Hatshuva. Shabbazman Shavatsar, Vizaku Alav via Ryu Yedo Akol Shabiglama Sam Aroyam Huralahan, Kakosavan Sechem Hitu, Vizui Shiigam Lahasar Atsar Malayam. An interesting thing. He doesn't say that what removes the tzara is knowing why God did it. See, that's not possible. That's not a possibility. But to know that you're chayav, and that really is the whole, what went through this morning, the whole yesod of kinos, really. That's the entire yesod of kinos. And we mentioned this morning, I think it opens up the whole idea of the kinos. Namely, that the kinos is two components. When you look through I'll just go over briefly. When you look through the kinos, so you see there's two components there. There's one component of complaint and crying out and saying it's unfair, basically. And that starts off in the first Echa with the Re'e Hashem Vabito. Re'e Hashem always means it's not right. Re'e Hashem Vabito Ki'isi Zolela. And in Perek Beis, it culminates in Re'e Hashem Vabito Lemia Laltako. That's really, that phrase is the essence of all kinis. Re'e Hashem Vabito Lemia Laltako. That pasuk summarizes, contains in itself the whole essence of the kinnis. And if you really grasp the idea over there, you'll see how you could work out every kalir is going to fit into that. Every single kalir can be expanded upon in that vein. And the concept is that Re Hashem Vabitul Neil Altakol means simply that the Jews say, Klal Yisrael says to God, L'miyol altako. To who? Are we such horrible people that we deserve this? And to chal nashim pir ma'ole tipuchim, do we deserve to be reduced to dehumanized? That a woman will consume her own offspring? I mean, that we're not human beings anymore. So in Yehorig b'mikdash ad Hashem koin v'navi is ruach hakodesh meshiva. But can you explain the fact that a Kohen and Navi was killed in the Mikdash Hashem? Did it happen or didn't it happen? Are you chayev or are you not chayev? Do you have an answer or don't you have an answer? And we don't have an answer. You see, we don't have an answer. So, but the questions go on. And you see, the questions become even greater as the Eicha goes on. Like, Harakta lo chamolto. Harakta lo chamolto. Tavachta lo chamolto. And then the end, the last pasuk, is the biggest complaint. I mean, where it says ki im ma'os ma'astana katzafta leino ad ma'od, which means to say it was Yosem Midai. What right does a Navi have to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yosem Midai? I mean, it's absurd. If somebody would say this, it's a kofar bigger. I mean, Yosem Midai. But the pshat really is that the Navi worked out an ingenious idea. Through Navua, of what kinos is. And kinos is the dilemma of man where he's caught between what his mind tells him and between what his intellect tells him. But he can't possibly get rid of what his mind tells him. You see? It's an impossibility. It's human nature. It's human nature. So the mind tells him that it is absurd that we, Klal Yisrael, deserve such honor. Doesn't make any sense. Does not make any sense to us. We're not that bad. Averus did wrong things, chatoyim, but compare us with the other umos. Incomparable. And we don't deserve these. We don't deserve these onshim. These onshim are yosem yidai. Okay? But at the same time, we know that we're chayev. Sadeku ad Hashem kifir marisi, because like the Rambam says in the Mar Nevuchim, that the way God judges and the way God rules is not to be compared in any way with the way man rules. So intellectually, we know that we're wrong. But you can't get rid of the commonplace thinking. The intuitive type of thinking, you can't get rid of. It's not possible to get rid of it. So a religious person simply buries the intuitive. You see? But the Navi didn't. The Navi didn't do that. The Navi had a different prescription. He said, no, you bring out the intuitive. And what do you say? You say, That's part of the lamentation. That's part of the curse. That's part of the klala. The fact that I come up against my mind, and I know that God's justice is perfect. Tzadik v'yosho ein ovo. So I know that intellectually, but I am plagued by the fact that I can't get away. I cannot escape my intuitive mind that tells me this is wrong. It's not fair. It's not right. And that itself is the klala that we're placed in this position. That itself is the klala that we're placed in this position. So that's why the Navi goes on again and again. That's really why the Navi goes on asking the questions, you see, and giving a funny answer. He asks the questions, but alongside it is Tzidik Adin. But the lamentation, the idea of lamentation is the lamenting is over the lamenting itself. You see? That's really what the Navi discovers. And that is our tie to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is our tie. That's our tie. That we lament over the fact that we're plagued by this lamentation. And we know one thing. We know that if we would have lived the proper way, we wouldn't be caught in this position. We wouldn't be caught in this position. You see? We wouldn't be caught in this position. That's Sadek Ved Hashem Kefir Marisi. Had we gone in the right way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the intuitive as well. In the brachas, God doesn't take care just of based on His justice. But He takes care of us in terms of our own mental apparatus and satisfies our mind in the brachas. And the brachas satisfies our mind. Interesting is, yes?
From a point of view of halakha, where we basically have described the Tisha B'Av being related to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. But afterwards, in all the kinnas, now that we have the so-called modern liturgy of the kinnas, you start seeing writings about the Inquisition, writings about what happened during various communities when they were in medieval Europe, forums, mines, and then, of course, the Holocaust. Where is the halakhic authority to say that we lament this also? Are we to believe that Tisha B'Av essentially is the experience from the Beis HaMikdash, or is Tisha B'Av the destruction of the community, or is Tisha B'Av some kind of form of continuum that throughout the Rosh Hashanah we're supposed to be seeing things like this?
That's a good question. That's a good question. But I think the source is in the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that in Perek Chamishi Halacha Gimel, so the Rambam says, he says the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. So he mentions the Nilkedo Ir Gedolo Beit Hashma, Vayu Bo Alofin V'Rivos Mi Yisrael, Vayu Lan Melech Gadol, that's Bar Kochva, V'Dimu Kol Yisrael Gedolei HaChachamim Shehu Melech HaMashiach. He says, and they all thought that he was the Melech HaMashiach. He says, V'Nafal B'Yad HaRomoyim, he was captured by the Romans, fell in the hands of the Romans, the Nehegu Kulam. So the Rama says, so what does that do with Tisha B'Av? So Ram says, Vahoisa Tzora Gedola Kimo Churban Beis HaMikdash. So apparently the Ramam holds that Tzora Gedola is like Churban Habayis. That Tzora Gedola is like, what exactly, what kind of a Tzora Gedola is that? Was that Tzora Gedola had multi facets to it, because it was the old Chachmei Yisrael came down. I mean, it was a bazillion of Torah. And Chazal say that that Gadol Mises Sadikim Kiyom Chodim Beis Alekeno. So it was really all of Klal Yisrael. They believed that he was the Melech Mashiach, and they all it was a bazillion for all of Klal Yisrael and Chachmei Yisrael. But the Ram doesn't isolate the characteristics. He just says, and we know from the Gemara, from Yishalmi, the horror of Beitar. Beitar was worse than the Chorban itself, the tragedies in Beitar. So I mean that I mean that's what we say, Tova Meitav, Tov Shtola Shrichla Meitav Shenitnu L'Kvura. It means that still shows that there was so much gacha there. There was so much gacha there. But I'm chayev to be mavarech on that. But the fact that there is Ashgacha, there was Ashgacha, that it wasn't completely something that happened arbitrarily, but it was Ashgachas Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't abandon Klal Yisrael. So Toshel is a measure of the world. But you see from the Rambam says that a Tzara Gedola has a din of Chorban HaBayis. So I would assume that based on that, I mean, that's why they're bringing the Holocausts, and Loch Tzara Gedola Mazu, and the other Tzaras. They bring them in on Tisha B'Av is based on the Rambam, that a Tzara Gedola is equivalent to Chorban HaBayis. Yes.
I think the Rebbe once wanted to say everything flows, or the whole Golos experience is part of, is an extension of the Korban.
Yes, that's correct.
That is a raya, the keynote of York, to say that the Crusades were incorporated in Tisha B'Av and should never have had.
Well, there's another point of the Ubobi Yama Muchan Leperonius. It's also Tisha B'Av, Tzara Gedola, Chorban HaBayis, and then the Rambam mentions it's Yom HaMuchan LePeronios. Ubo b'yom HaMuchan LePeronios. So you see that but that would seem to be Bo b'yom HaMuchan LePeronios, would seem to be Peronios that happened on that day. The Meraglim happened on that day, right? That's correct. But it's Yom HaMuchan LePeronios, and it's Tzara Gedola is like Chorban HaBayis. Tzara Gedola is like Chorban HaBayis. Yeah. But, yeah.
Is that from the point of view of intellect or the point of view of mind?
The what?
Tzara Gedola.
Sorry, you mean Tzara Gedola?
Yeah, in comparison to the Beis HaMikdash. Is that simply mind? I mean, it's a destruction. But is that intellectually the same plane as from a bias? Or
I mean, what's the common denominator?
Yeah, we feel that. Obviously, we feel it. Emotionally, we feel it. But is there intellectually a equation?
That's a good question. I mean, what's the common denominator between Chorban HaBayis and Tzara Gedola to Klal Yisrael? What's the common denominator? I would say it like this. You know, the Rav mentioned that the anti-Semitism of the Goy expresses itself in two different ways. In other words, when the Jew is down, so it expresses itself in deriding the Jew and humiliating the Jew and making him a downcast. But in when he's up, when he's high, it expresses itself in envy. And hatred. And envy and hatred. It's an interesting thing. There's a Kli Yakar in yesterday's... you see, that what you want to talk about?
No.
I didn't realize
that you read
that. So is this supposed to be on?
It's disconnected.
Okay.
It's running.
Okay, okay.
It's continuous.
Okay. So the interesting Kli Yakar, take a look at it. But he mentions it on Pnu Lachem Tzafona. So he says that the Pnu Lachem Tzafona, he quotes a Chazal, I want to say it means keep away from Esav. So he says that Esav is very envious because Yaakov stole the brachos, so Esav is very envious. So he says there's a practice among our people that they live in Eretz Oyvenu. We live in Eretz Oyvenu, and nevertheless, he says, we spend and we're ostentatious and live in beautiful homes and show off our wealth. He says, this is an Issa D'Raisa of Pnu Lachem Tzafona. He says, because the sinon and the kina that we engender by doing that is responsible for everything, is totally responsible for why we are in the state that we're in. It's amazing. It's an amazing statement. He says, that is the essence of our Torah. He says, because we can't contain ourselves and we have to show off. He says, and Esav is Miskane, and that's precisely why that's the cause of all our troubles, he says. It's an amazing, take a look at an amazing Kliyar. But the Rav said that when the Jew is high, so the sinor of Esav is expressed in tremendous jealousy. But when the Jew falls, then it's expressed in derision and hatred. Lag vakelas, you see. So you see in Chorban Abayis, one of the things in Chorban Abayis is Naflo Ateres Roshenu. Naflo Ateres Roshenu. Schiomos Tesimeni. So Schi is spittle. Omos Tesimeni. It means that they deride us and we're lag vakelas and we're worthless and they spit on us. That's the Chorban Abayis Nafla Teres Roshenu, and Tzora Gedola has the same effect. Tzora Gedola has the same effect. So that's why it's tied into the Chorban. That's why it's tied into the Chorban. After all, the purpose of the Abayis was to lift us up. And the Shavati Gaon is Gaon Uzchem. So it was to lift us up, really. That was the purpose of the bias. So, Tzora Gedola. If it's not a Tzora Gedola, it doesn't affect the Gaim. But Tzora Gedola affects the Gaim. Affects the Gaim, and therefore the result is that Klal Yisrael is downtrodden and hated and derided. Okay. It's a Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem. Both Chil Hashem. Okay, so I was mentioning that is really the heart and the main concept in the kinos and of Eicha. That's the main idea of the Navi. I mean, and the idea, I think, when you see it, is implicit in everything he says. I mean, it's implicit there. But the thing is that it's interesting. One of the things that you can learn on Tisha B'Av is Iyuv. So the question is, why Iyuv? Why Iyuv? So Danny Wolf reminded me what we said a couple of years ago, because we said, why can you learn sad things? And can you learn sad things be'ion? But Pikud Hashem Yisham Mesam Chelev. So how can you learn sad things? I mean, how can you learn sad things? So the answer, like, I think the answer we gave then was, or something like this, I don't remember exactly, that the reason why it's Mesam Chelev is because of the fact that there's insight. And insight is Mesameach Lev. Okay, that's the nature of insight. But if the insight is into a sad theme, the basic theme is one that is sad, so then the insight doesn't result in the same affect of happiness. You see? It doesn't result in the same affect of happiness. Because that's the nature of the thing. It's true, you enjoy the insight. It's not a tati de sasri. We're not denying Pikud Hashem Yisrael Masam Chelev. They are Masam Chelev. But the fact is that the Mesam Chelev takes place because of the insight. But if the insight is into a tragedy, so you enjoy the insight, but at the same time, you're left with the affect of Avelos. So that's why sad things are mutter. Mm-hmm. But the question is Iyuv. So, because Iyuv really is a personal tragedy. And interesting is in the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, where he explains Iyuv, in the end, have you got a Moreh Nevuchim there? So the Rambam comes. So I understand the first part of Eiv. The first part of Eiv makes sense, because the first part of Eiv is all. It's exactly the first part of Eiv is exactly like Eicha. He complains about his state. But in the end, the idea is a very uplifting concept. I mean. And it doesn't say anywheres that the end of Eiv is Aser. So the Rambam explains that Yidram says, he says, like I said before, that the term rule by God does not mean the same, is in no way the same as the term rule by man. So you can't apply these, you can't ask these questions, how or why did God do this? Because then you're going into human type of ideas, okay? So he says, he goes through that, and then he's like this. In the same manner, as there is a difference between the works of nature and productions of human artifacts, so there is a difference between God's rule, providence, and intention in reference to all natural forces, and our rule. This lesson is the principal object of the whole book of Job. It lays down this principle of faith and recommends us to derive a proof from nature that we should not fall into the error of imagining his knowledge, God's knowledge, to be similar to ours, or his intention, providence, and rule similar to ours. When we know this, we shall find everything that may befall us easy to bear. Mishap will create no doubts in our hearts concerning God, whether he knows our affairs or not, whether he provides for us or abandons us. On the contrary, our faith will increase our love of God. As it is said in the end of this prophecy, therefore I abhor myself and repent concerning the dust and ashes, which means that because he was involved in his intuitive mind and in the fact that he valued materialistic things and his whole way of looking at things, that's why he says he abhors himself for complaining and for cursing Belav and all his lamentations, because he realizes that it's a different kind of a concept. And he says the pious do everything out of love and rejoice in their own afflictions. Okay, if you pay to my words the attention which this treatise demands and examine all that is said in the book of Job, all will be clear to you, and you will find that I have grasped and taken hold of the whole subject. Nothing has been left unnoticed except such portions. Okay, that's the Rambam. So basically, what is the Rambam saying? I mean, the Rambam is, it sounds like a cop out answer. Like the Rambam saying, you don't understand God. So everybody says that. You don't understand God. What kind of answer is that? What the Rambam means is something a little deeper. The Rambam means not that you say you don't understand God. That's, Avdol Goyim said it. What he means is that if you really gain Yedias Hashem to the point where that idea becomes clear to you, that it's impossible to even think about knowing, you see, that if you reach that level, then you're filled with Avas Hashem, and nothing really matters. See, because the Rambam says before the average person can be very happy with God when things are going well. He says, but even if they lose money or whatever their loss might be, he says some people can take it. But he says, but no one can take physical pain. He says, and when a person is under physical pain, he has to curse either Belav or Bepeh. He says a person is humanly impossible. Over here he says no. That the person, that's for an average person, for a regular person has a regular faith. A regular religious person cannot endure pain. If it's physical pain, then he's going to have doubts, he's going to deny God, he's going to question, he's going to get into all these things, unless he simply suppresses everything. But the Rambam says that, but a person who has a real knowledge of God to the extent that his knowledge, that's what he means. See, so they have to find the proof from nature. It means the person who knows that the idea of knowing God is absurd. So, therefore, he knows that these questions are not questions. It's a knowledge. Then his relationship to God becomes switched to his knowledge of the appreciation of God. And Chachmas Hashem. You see? And his she'ifon, his desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that becomes the focus of his whole mentality. You see, that becomes. By the way, since we're speaking about that, what really is Mikdash? What is based on Mikdash? What really is Mikdash? Shlomo HaMelech says, "Hayeshev in Malachim," when he dedicated the Mikdash. He says, "Hayeshev Elokim al Haaretz." Ha'omnam Yeshev Elokim al Haaretz. Hinei Hashemayim Shmeshmayim Lo Yichak Alucha Vafkei Bayis Hazeh. And he goes on again and again to say, and don't be mispiled to this bias, v'ata tishma shamayim, v'chon shiftecho, many times. You should look through the tefillah. He wants to make it clear that the idea that God is in a base on Mikdash is kfirah and absurdity and totally ridiculous. So the question is, what really is the base on Mikdash? It's an absurd place. Ha'omnam ki yeshiv alakim ala aretz, hinei ha'shamayim ha'shmei ha'shamayim lo yechal kaluchav avki ha'bayis hazeh. So what is the answer? What is the Mikdash? What does the Mikdash represent really in reality? What is the Mikdash? The Mikdash is God's residence. Beis Elokim. So what does it mean is God's residence? What it means is, just like the Rambam says in Perek Beis of Yesodei HaTorah, that when a person is misboning, b'masa v'bura v'nefloim, The year mehem chachmasa shein la'erf ein la'kates, miyadu ov mishabeach umafoyer, umesava taiva gedola leidas akel agodla anora. So it means he's filled with a desire to come closer to the Borei Olam. That's exactly what the Mikdash is. The Mikdash is a feeble gesture, which means like a mushel, like we wish that there could be, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu could be closer to us. So what could we do to demonstrate that? So you build a residence. So a residence demonstrates the idea that you wish, you have a she'ifa that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should be beinenu. That is the concept of Mikdash. That's the concept of bias. The bias itself plays no role. The bias only reflects our desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for cure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what can we do to express that? So the answer is, dwelling Shechina is residence. So we make a residence. The residence demonstrates the idea that we have a desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Shochein Bein Bnei Yisrael. V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. What is Li? Li is Lishmi. Lishmi means an idea. It means to understand Yedias Hashem. If they make the Mikdash for Yedias Hashem, so then they're filled with a she'ifa and a desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's mutter to have a bias that represents that idea. That she'ifa l'makom. And then the shachanti besocham, then the ashgacha really takes place. You see. So that's the concept. But that's Iyuv. So Iyuv really is, that's the concept of Iyuv. That if a person reaches the level where he knows, not simply he says, we can't stand God. Everybody says it. It means that his Yedias Hashem is at the point where he recognizes the absurdity of that idea. Then his mind is focused on the Roman Musakel, and that's what Ram says, the things that happen to him are unimportant because of the proportion in his mind that is the essence in his mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a small thing, and he's a small thing. So then all the untoward events are unimportant because his mind is focused on the Roman Musakel and the Avas Hashem. That's the answer to you. But again, the answer is never that he understands why in specific. That's not possible. To understand why is not possible. Just to know that Tzadik Hu Hashem Kefir Marisi, that you could know. Tzadik then you could know, but why you can't, because that means you could know Machshava Sakel, and Machshava Sakel are unknowable. Yes?
But if you make that, say a person achieves Avas Hashem and they make that switch from trying to understand God to appreciating God. But aren't there certain times, let's say, when in Tefillah, when it seems that the way the halacha is structured is to switch you back to, like, say, in Bakasha, where it's no longer an appreciation, it's really like, you know, you're requesting.
Your own needs.
You're back to that sort of relationship structure as opposed to an appreciation. It just seems there's certain times, like it's appreciation, but when in Bakasha and prayer, and you know, asking for, you know, in tshuva, it seems it's hard to maintain that structure of mind when you're involved in those activities.
When you're involved in those, you mean those Bakashas, isn't it?
Bakasha, right.
Like Baruch Alein Es Hashanah Azos?
Yom Kippur and Tefillah, and you know, where you're asking.
No, you're right. You're absolutely. The point is, I mean, there's no question the Rambam's talking about a rare individual. But each person can be on that. There's no real line of demarcation. It's each person, like let's say Torah Lishma. So to learn Torah Lishma, only Moshe Rabbeinu can learn Torah Lishma. But it means that every person on his level can learn Torah Lishma also. I mean, maybe he learns because of certain aggression, or maybe he learns because of certain ambition, or he gets satisfaction out of himself, the fact that he's a chacham and he figured out the answer. There's nothing wrong with that. It's that's not the essence of his lima. I mean, you see, Chazal say that the people get angry in Iraisa and then they in learning. What is the anger? I mean, anger is an emotion, but it means the main reason why he's engaged in Torah is because he appreciates ideas. That's lishma. So there's different levels of lishma, different levels of lishma, and the same thing over here is true. There's different levels of avas Hashem. It's not one thing. It's not I mean, the halacha always presents it as a clean cut type of thing, that there's either you have avas Hashem or you don't have avas Hashem. It's not true. There's different level. A person can have it on a different level. Every person lefi chokhmasa. But insofar as that's concerned, insofar as we aren't on that level, we have to ask for our means. A person has to ask for his nature and for what he needs as a human being. I mean, that was Tfilat Chana, that she couldn't live without a child. She had a very strong maternity instinct, so she gave God an ultimatum. She had an ultimatum that she'll violate the Eishes Ish in order that she mashke her the Mayim Amorim. So how could she do it? I mean, how could she say such a thing as an Issa Deraisa? How could Chana, the great tzaddik, say she's going to be over an Issa Deraisa? But what Chazal points out is a very, very deep idea. That Chazal points out the idea that a person can be in a situation where the instinctual forces are so powerful that they could sense that those forces will even cause them to be over an Avera. And that's what she said. That's what she said. She said, I am in such a distraught state that I'm in a state where I can't even control myself from being over an Avera. That's what she said. That was part of a tefillah. So, it doesn't mean she would have done the Avera. It means that the emotions were so powerful that it was leading her into that area. And she was contemplating, she started to have thoughts about that. So it means a person has to recognize that he's only a human being, and that's why he has to mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his needs are taken care of. I mean, because like the Rambam says, that a person can suffer a lot, but bodily suffering he can't take. And he says he'll either curse, either belave, or bepeh. That's what I hope the Rambam says in Maribohan. So you see, a human being has to know what he is as a human being, and he has to mispalel to Hashem, lowly de nisayim. What does lowly de nisayim mean?
I'm going to mispalel in a more abstract way. Right, let's say a person...
You go on this way. Hashevein avinu
sar sechel. They're in pain. Would that tefillah be, you know, like a request, like someone in pain looking for, like they would to a person, you know, for help? Or is it a different experience when even your mispalel for your needs, let's say an oy vayker, and they mispalel for their needs, but they see it's not, I'm just going to be mispalel according to the structure and it's abstract, and, you know, I do what I do in the tefillah, or is it supposed to be that sort of outpouring of emotion like you would in a relationship? And that kind of like intense feeling of need and such in a relationship is often effective when you have passed with them.
I understand exactly what
something is.
Well, you see, by Chana she was overcome. By Chana she was very emotional. She was overcome and she looked like she was drunk.
Right.
So
and that was appropriate.
That was she changed the whole lachas tefillah because of it. She should. That's more important. Kavanas Halev is more important than how you stand before God's
wrath. That was not appreciation at that moment. That was not an act of appreciation. That was an act of desperation.
Yeah, I mean, she was really involved in the tefillah. I mean, her emotions were involved. I mean, tefillah is where if the person is distraught, right. So and he stands before the Borei Olam and he expresses his feelings. I mean, that's correct. I mean, no, there's nothing. Why is that wrong? Why is that wrong?
Graves appreciation.
Well, that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. Now, why is it called avodah if you're demanding of God? You're asking God. He says, the master asks you if you're the other. He says, no, because you recognize that he's the only one that can supply you with that need. So it's recognition. So the asking is really avdus.
I guess I think of appreciation as more as this passionate recognition of the greatness of something else, as opposed to what can I get out of it? You know, how can it help me? When you appreciate someone, it's somewhat removed from yourself.
Tefillah, a person Everything has its man. What does Ramach say? Eis lakos man veis lachol chefetz tachas Hashemesh. There's a time to mispal, there's the time to be involved in Avas Hashem. They're not the same thing. When the Ram says b'shoshim is boni nolam b'bruv myself on the flam, he's not speaking about tefillah.
So was...
Tefillah is a different thing.
No, when Eo was in that state of intense pain and so on, was he wrong to... Should he have been in a more appreciative state? Or, I mean, was he correct in what he did? When
he was wrong. He said, that's what he said, Nichamti Alof Avefer. Why? Because he was wrong, because he made that his whole world. That was his whole world. That was what was wrong. Not because he complained. Because actually, she asked me a question now. So now it's a steer to everything I said about the whole Lamentations. Right?
I was going
to ask that. That's a good question. That's a good question. Because it seems from the Navi clearly that you have a right to express these things. Not only have a right, if you don't, you're just fooling yourself, because this is really the Tzar. You see, this is really the Tzar. So the question is, but according to the Rambam and according to other Mefarshim, not just the Rambam, that was the end of Eiv. The whole culmination of Eiv is that he recognizes it's not important, the Tzaras. Important is Yedias Hashem, and once you're enthralled by the creation and by the Borei Olam, nothing's important. One psychologist one time said, astronomers usually don't really enjoy their lives, don't put that much enjoyment into their lives, because astronomers deal in such spans of time that they seem their lives seem insignificant. So even just astronomy alone throws a different focus. Certainly, Yedias Hashem, where a person appreciates the Bria, that is, he becomes insignificant. So if that's the case, it would be the worst idea to read Eiv on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because say nothing's important, only Yedias Hashem, so what do I care what happened? And that's the end of it. And then go further and be happy. Yeah, that's a good question. So Eiv really, it will come out that Eiv is a steer to the whole, to the tie to the sasri between Eiv and between Eicha. Between Eiv and between Eicha. How could it be that Eiv is one of the Inyan of the Oma? I mean, one of the things you're allowed to learn in Tisha B'Av is Eiv. Yeah, what do you say? I'll leave you with that question. No, I'm just kidding.
Two more
questions.
What? Isn't
Kohelis
reconcile that?
Kohelis? We have enough with Eov in there.
No, I'm saying if the point of Eov is realizing, you're saying that nothing matters, right? That all these things are really trivial, right? But Tisha B'Av has this where we're mourning over the loss of the Mikdash. So you say, yeah, in fact, nothing, everything is trivial, but as men, there's nothing else we could do about that. And there's still, so what should we do as men in this life?
No, but Eiv answers what you should do as men in this life. Eiv, that's exactly the answer that the Rambam says. The Eiv says, the Nichamti Alof Avefer, I'm sorry that I was so complaining and that I was so distraught about all these little things that are nonsense, that I really should have been thinking about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how he created the universe. That should have been the center of my focus, and I shouldn't have been so self-involved with my pain. And now I see the idea. So if that's the case, isn't that contrary to the whole idea of Eicha? I mean, so what are we worried about? What are the chorban? This is what we would be happy. Be involved in being misbonin and myself on a floyim and forget about all this and go home. Yes?
The person would learn that when they eventually be involved in Tochacha Torahs themselves, they'd eventually say, but I'm not yet at the maskana that Eiv has reached. I do take comfort in my things.
Yeah, the thing is like this. The main answer is that really Eiv is Tzoras Yochid. Tzoras Yochid, a person can say that. But you can't say that by Tzoras Klal Yisrael. That you can't say. Tzoras Klal Yisrael is nothing, because Klal Yisrael is really the whole instrument and vehicle of perfection. So in Klal Yisrael you can't say that. That's... if a person doesn't class well, he's disingenuous. It means that he really doesn't... It's a tie to the sasri, because this is the whole relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. And this is the whole means and vehicle of perfection. And this is what we're losing. So you can't say that there's something more important. Tzara Secha, you can do it. But the question still is, yes?
Would there be a corollary between that and where a woman who afterwards, after she has a child, she has to ask for forgiveness to her husband because of the inevitable mind of, or that compunction of disdain for her husband?
Right. Now, correct. That's the same kind of an idea. That's right, the same kind of idea. I mean, that the instinct overpowers them, and then they have to go through a process where they rethink it. Yeah, that's very good. That's a very good point. Yes. So,
is it possible to say we're really mourning over these sins as opposed to the loss of the physical
reality? No, but you know, because I'm still in that mode. I mean, you're still talking about the onshin. There's one more point. There's one point I want to add to this. The point is that at the end of Eiv, it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him everything back. Keflayim, Shivasayim, whatever it was, he gave him back everything, and he blessed them. Yeah. And he says, Hashem Berech Asachris Eiv Mereshiso. Ilo boss or elef tzon the sheish the lofim gemalim the elef semed buck of elef tzonos ilo shiv ona vonim ushol v'sholosh bonos vayegr shem achasim mima v'lo nimtza nash nefes givnos iyev b'chol ha'oretz yidna avim nachla b'soch ha'chayim v'iyev achrezos meva v'am shona v'yiras bonav es b'nei vonav abo doros v'yom asi yev zokin es v'yom. So why was that necessary, really? Danny Wolf asked me that question. Why was that necessary? Why is it necessary? He's such a great person. I mean, he doesn't need it anymore. Why was that necessary? So you see that while it's true, and now we're talking about even the greatest person. I mean, Kavachama us, we're not near these levels, but even the greatest person, what he does is, when he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acting seemingly against him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu overrides everything. And it fills him with Avas Hashem. And he doesn't question. Because the main focus is on Avas Hashem. That is true. But it doesn't mean he's not suffering. It doesn't mean that there's another part of him that is still suffering. Because you can't completely wipe out the nature of man. Not possible. Because you never find the Torah. The Torah denies the nature of man. The Torah always recognizes the nature of man. And it recognizes it in the greatest people. You see the Gemara by Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Meir, that the Sutton made himself look like a beautiful woman, and Rabbi Kiva dropped the Gemara and he went running after the Sutton, swimming across the river, the bridge. Because we never say that a person is not a human being and has lost his instinctual nature. What does Gemara say? That it was a buyer who went on the road, and he saw a couple that restrained themselves, and he came to the Beis Medrash, he was crying because he said, I couldn't restrain. If I were in that situation, I could not restrain myself. So they told him, that's the nature. You can't obliterate the instinctual, the sexual, the emotional part of man cannot be obliterated. And if a person thinks he can do that, he's not in the religion of Yahadis. That's not Yahadis. Never. You don't find any. Yosef HaTzadik, the greatest. And as a matter of fact, in Kol HaTorah Kula, Yaakov, everyone. So, what? Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayiktzof Moshe Alpikudi Achayel. Vayiktzof Moshe. It says, what? That was, yeah, when he was 19, 20 years old. Yeah, and then it was a complaint against them. Then they complained against me. They said it wasn't right.
That was 40 years, wasn't it?
That was, when was that? That was in, first year. Oh, 80, so 86. Okay, I'm sorry. But the point is, and they said it was wrong. Aaron and Miriam said it was wrong.
Hashem said
that he was right. But you see, why did they say they weren't? They were big people. They said it was wrong. Why? Because they said he has an instinctual nature too. He can't deny it. And he's a human being. He's a human being. It just so happens that Moshe Rabbeinu could be Masig who he was. But that's Moshe Rabbeinu. And even Moshe Rabbeinu is depicted. Vayitzef Moshe al Pekud Yechol. And then it says the next halacha came to Elazar. Why? About kashering the claim midyan. Why? Because he got angry. If Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, he lost halacha. So you don't find anyone in Kol HaTorah Kula being depicted as a perfect individual. I mean, there's just no such thing. So no such thing. So I mean that concept is alien to Yahadis, an alien concept to Yahadis. Yeah. So therefore to say that a person is mekabel bi'ava yisurin, that may be true, that is true for a very great person, but it doesn't mean that there's nothing there that's bothering him. He's completely not being bothered. That doesn't mean that. And that's why, in the end, he received all the brachas. He received all the brachas in the end. Why? Because he had to have the complete satisfaction. You see. So Eicha really, that's Eicha. Even in being Masig, the Rama Sakel, but nevertheless, the other element is there. And in Eicha we have to lament over the fact that because of the Golas, we lost our status, and we are involved in this, and we aren't on the real level of Avas Hashem. So on the contrary, and that is itself the lamentation. Like I said before, it's divrei kinos on the kinos themselves. Yes.
There are Eastern cultures actually that have a derivative of pleasure, sort of like an ascetic, where he in fact has a derivative of pleasure from suppressing his pleasure. So
that's correct.
Sort of like a 180.
You're right.
You say there's somebody in fact who has a cultural diversity that narrows down to that.
No, you're right. He's not escaping it.
It's Buddhist.
Yeah.
So, he carried, in fact, a natural inclination to the scope of mind.
To do what?
Has in fact, the idea that he is enjoying the discussion of pleasure.
He's a machine.
Or the natural scope of what mind would derive from pleasure.
Say it again? I don't answer your question.
The scope of pleasure would in fact be a scope to the 180, the actual diametrical, what a normal human being
the
would
perception
derive
is
pleasure.
The pleasure is the lack of pleasure. That's
so what's the question?
Asceticism.
Yeah, but that's a perversion.
It might be a perversion, but it's actually a diametric to the scope of what a natural inclination of man would be.
That's correct. It's diametrically opposed, and that's why he's doing it. He shouldn't be doing it. We're saying that man was created that he should enjoy his natural pleasures rather than a masochist. So the person will enjoy torturing himself.
But not necessarily masochist, but even out of an omission.
Whatever it is. Whatever it is, that is a distorted idea that's learned by a philosophy that's a distort. No. That's a distortion. That's what Yada says, that that's a distorted way to exist. To inflict pain on yourself and to think that that's pleasurable is a distortion. And that comes from primitive ideas of guilt without the true ideas of Torah. That's where it comes from. Why should a person want to harm himself? So over there, Avodah Zarah do that. The Indians, the sun dance. So the Indians engage in, so they get tremendous pleasure tearing flesh from their body with these skewers. So you said that's pleasure? That's a perverted pleasure.
There's some variant of that where in fact the idea of an individual having this form of inclination of what right and wrong is, or what his scope of what he wants and what he doesn't want.
That's right. They were saying his scope is wrong. He's got the wrong scope. That's the whole idea of Torah. There is that he has to get the everything's possible. It's possible for a person to do anything crazy, but just because it's possible, we don't engage in every practice that's possible. Yes, that's not a good. That's a bad. That's a worse one. Yes.
He asked the question about Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur.
Yeah. Okay. So getting back to the question of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur.
Why do you learn Yiddish?
So now the question is that Eiv. So why do you learn Eiv on Tisha B'Av? Yeah. The answer is very good. Because there is always a certain, like I said, Pikudi Hashem Yeshua Mesam Chelev is true because there's insight. But if the insight is into something which is essentially tragic, so that you're not left with the affect of the insight, but the affect of the topic, of the subject. So Iyov really is a tragedy mitzchilas v'atzofa. Even for an individual who is masig, avas Hashem, but nevertheless, he's incomplete, because insofar as his nature is concerned, he's still suffering. And since he's still suffering, so it's true, it's a great state, and he's on a great level, but until you have the bracha in the end of Iyov, and that's why I have the bracha in the end of Iyov, until you have that bracha, he's really not complete. He's really not complete. So the topic of Iyov is appropriate for Tisha B'Av. No kasha, why you have it?
You can't read the bracha.
What's that?
Can't read the bracha.
The bracha in the end? I thought of that. I knew somebody asked that question. Yeah, okay. Up to the bracha. Okay.
No.
It's a sad thing. Now, even the bracha, because the bracha, it's a philosophical area, which means that you need it. Which means that you need it. Which means
that you need it.
I'll tell you, when you read somebody else's bracha, it's sad in general. The tzara is ach. Tzara is ach latzara. Yes. That's true, but the that's true, but it sounds like you're right. Doesn't seem to be conveying that idea. Okay. That was impossible. Yeah. You're right. I mean, it's a good point. Okay. So at any rate, the question was, why? How do we get into this? The question was, Yom Kiyulachal B'Yom Kippur. And how's it possible? One's Rabbanan, one's the Raisa. So I was quoting the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Steiners, that you have the Chatzotros. So how do you do that? So it says, "Midivir sof ramsa l'sanos al kol tzar shetavol tzibat shiruchal men hashemayim, ubi mea tainios el zokim betfilos umeschananim umeiriim b'chatzotzros bilvad." Okay, so they use chatzotzros. V'mayu b'migdash meiriim b'chatzotzros u'b'shofar. So in the migdash they use chatzotzros and shofar. And hashofar mekatzer v'chatzotzros marichos shemitzvas hayom b'chatzotzros. They ain't token b'chatzotzros for shofar keachot el lo b'migdash. Shenema b'chatzotzros for kol shofar harid lefnei melech Hashem. But you have that halacha once before. Where?
In
Hilcha Shofar. Exactly. In Hilcha Shofar. And there the Rambam says a similar idea. The Migdash are you talking about Roshan of a shofar echad or shtech atzotras men atzodnim? Over there is the opposite. A shofar ma'arach v'chatzotras mekatras shem mitzvah sayom b'shofar. V'loma tokenim of v'chatzotras mishum shenema v'chatzotras v'kol shofar real of nemel Hashem. It's interesting. Ram over here says v'loma tokenim of v'chatzotras. Over here he says v'ain token v'chatzotras v'shofar kechad al meir. Why does he change his lashon? No, the reason is simple. The reason is because shofar is a mitzvah. So that's why he says that the lama token, because it's a mitzvah to be tokei of a migdash. It's a mitzvah to be tokei of a migdash. Are you talking about Roshan Roshofer? It's a mitzvah to be tokei of a migdash. So that's why he says the lama token ima b'chatzotros. When you're doing the mitzvah, why do you accompany it with chatzotros? Because it's a mitzvah to do it. But in Tainus, it's not a mitzvah. It just says v'imhoyu b'migdash, Maria b'chatzotros. They ain't talking about chatzotros. There's no mitzvah to do it, so he just has the negative. But that's why he changes lashon. Lashon is it's very precise. Lashon.
What?
When in the Migdash? V'imhayu b'migdash. Just as v'imhayu b'migdash. If they were in the Migdash, and it was practical to do it in the Migdash, so that's why they did it. But there was no chiyuv to do it in the Migdash. But in shofar, there's a mitzvah to be tokei b'migdash. So that's why it says v'loma token. Why do you kind of know why in this? Why do we do this over here? He doesn't say why do we do this, because you don't have to do it. He just says vein token b'chatzos v'as v'shofar b'echad el v'migdash. That if you're in the migdash, so you key, that's the only place you can do it. But at any rate, you have two forms of tkiyas. One form of tkiyah is the chatzotros, and one form of tkiyah is shofar. And then they combine somehow b'chatzotros v'kol shofar in the migdash. So Aaron Zimmer asked me a question. What is the philosophical question? What is the concept of the difference between chatzotros and between shofar? Why is it that way? Why don't we just have one instrument? Shofar. Okay. So I was thinking like this, that the, you see, that in terms of the perfection of man, there are two mechayvim for tkiyas. There are two mechayvim for tkiyas. One mechayv of tkiyas is simply the human nature. Okay, human nature is mechayv that a person should seek perfection. And human nature is mechayev that a person veers away from perfection, forgets about it. And human nature is mechayev that there should be a Rosh Hashanah, where because the shofar depicts Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that brings the person to tshuva, you see. And the tshuva is on Yom HaKippur. Shofar really is a shofar shel Yom HaKippurim. That's why you see, for instance, the only thing is that you're maschil in Rosh Hashanah and you're messiah in Yom HaKippurim. But the Rav wanted to mention Erev Chaim, that you see that how do they do Malchus HaKronos and shofar shel Yovel? How do they do Malchus HaKronos and shofar us? So I said, why? Because shofar is a kiyum in Yom HaKippurim. Not mechuyev in Yom HaKippurim, but it's a kiyum in Yom HaKippurim. So since it's a kiyum in Yom HaKippurim, so it's mechayev and Malchus HaKronos and shofar us. So the shofar of Shor Rosh Hashanah is really a shofar of tshuva. Is a shofar of tshuva. But the shofar of tshuva is a shofar of tshuva that the mechayev is mere existence. Human existence is mechayev in shofar and in tshuva. Chatzotros is something different. Because in chatzotros, the mechayev is a tzorah. A tzorah shel atov al atzibur. An untoward event that happened to people, to Klal Yisrael. And the untoward event causes us to think into our state. Okay? It's an experience with the external world that brings into play a phenomenon that demands tshuva. That demands tshuva. What essentially is that? What is the essence of that phenomenon, the essence of that tshuva? What is the essence of the chatzotros? What does the chatzotros accomplish? Essentially, what does chatzotros accomplish? What does it do? The chatzotros does one thing. It changes our perception of cause and effect. Okay? That don't think the enemy is the cause, but you are the cause. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the cause. Okay? So the chatzotros is a different kind of an instrument. The chatzotros is an instrument that deals with the practicality of man. When man engages the practical world and he finds that things don't go the way he expects them, he finds he encounters his tragedy, difficulties, then it's chatzotros. Okay? That's why chatzotros is a different aspect of human existence. If you take a look at the psukim in Bamidbar and the parsha in Baloscha, so I say lecha shtei chatzotros kesef, voye lecha lemikro edo lemasas amachanos. Okay, then bachas isko v'no lecha nasiim. It turns out that there's only one time they use the two chatzotros. When they use two chatzotros, lemasa ha'edo, when the edo has to move. Al piyad Hashem yisu, v'al piyad Hashem yachano. So Rashi mentions, what does it mean? Alpi Hashem Yisrael, Alpi Hashem Yachano. It means that they move based upon three things: Hashem, Moshe, and Chatzotros. Hashem, Moshe, and Chatzotros. And that's the same parsha. The Chisol Melchama Ba'atzchem Al Atzar Atzar Eschem Uskatam Chatzotros. Exact same parsha. Exact same parsha. What does it mean? It means the Chatzotros are the tkiyas that have to deal with the practical world. With the practical world, engaging in the practical world. You see? And that's why it's asei lechosh dei chatzotros kesef. They're practical, man-made. You see? But the shofar is shofar shalayel. It's the shofar of Avraham Avinu. That's intrinsic tshuva. When man doesn't use, he's not engaged in the external world at all. He's engaged in the internal world. He's encountering his internal world alone. And there he's reaching for HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the shofar. And that's why it's a shofar, shofar shalayel. A shofar shalayel because it's Akedas Yitzchak, it's Avraham Avinu, it's the highest level of Avas Hashem. So, as depicted by Avraham Avinu. So, the one that was really the Bechoch Osman, the Av of the Avos. So, that's why when you're dealing with intrinsic perfection, it's shofar. But when you're dealing with perfection, which comes about through your encounter with the external world, then it's chatzotzros. But that's why, if it's chutz l'migdosh, so each one is separate and each one is its own thing, its own idea. But in migdosh, it's both. In migdosh, it's b'chatzotzros, a kol shofar re'lifnei HaMelech HaShem. Because migdosh really combines both. See, migdosh is practical also. Where did they read the Urim V'Tumim? Was in the Lefnei Elazar Kohen Yama. Migdash deals with both, with the external world, and with man in terms of his perfection. Man vis-a-vis the other nations, and man vis-a-vis himself. So, in Migdash it's b'chatzotzros for kol shofar re lefnei HaMelech HaShem. But otherwise, it's singular. Either it's an, and by the way, insofar as the practical is concerned, with the chatzotzot, it's a whole different world. See, lamaso ha'eda is the practical. Alpir Hashem Yisrael, Alpir Hashem Yachad. That's the practical. But the practical is different world. For instance, the Rambam says in one of the letters that why was the second bias destroyed? Because of the fact that we relied, people were superstitious and they didn't really do research in military research, and they forfeited intelligent moves because they followed the superstitious primitive ideas. So you see, when one engages in the physical and the battle with the physical, the encounter with the physical, it's a different involvement, lefnei Hashem. You have to think into practicality, like Yaakov Avinu, tefillah, doron, melchama. It's a different mindset. It's a whole different area. So that different area involves chatzotzros. That's v'hayel chalam masa ha'ida, you see. But with regard to intrinsic perfection in man, that's exclusively shofar. So that's why the Gemara said, what is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av really is, in terms of Hilchos Tainis, that's like the Rambam says. I mean, this is a called Tzara Shel Tava LaTzibur. And these tzaras that came on the Tzibur, we bring them back, okay, to use them as a vehicle of perfection. So Tisha B'Av is a different kind, is the chatzotzros, really. We don't do chatzotzros because it's a tzar of the past. But Tisha B'Av is really chatzotzros. So that's what the Gemara says. Kol ha'ochel v'shosa b'Tisha B'Av ki'ilu ochel v'shosa b'yom ha'kippurim. Why? Because each one is just as bad. It means if a person forfeits his relationship to God when in tshuva and tainus, when it comes to the practical, and he thinks he could retain it with regard to the private, insofar as his own personal world is concerned, so he's making a mistake. It's ki'ilu ochel v'shosa b'yom ha'kippurim. It means he has nothing at all. I mean, there is a tendency in man to do that. That the practical world I'll ignore. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, that I recognize that I want to perfect myself. So that's what Chazal say. Kol ha'ochel v'shosa b'tisha b'av, a person that is not involved in the engaging of man in the practical world before God, cannot be involved before God in the personal world. You can't isolate these two things and say that with regard to the personal, I daven every day on Lefnei Hashem, it's fine. But the practical, I'm not going to think about it. There's no shachas to me. Enough to be worried about, but whatever happens, happens. You see? That's what Chazal say is an untenable position. Kol ha'ochel v'shosa v'tisha b'av, if a person denies Tisha B'Av and doesn't want to think into events that are bad, untoward events, and how to deal with these events, So he's Kini Locha Vashas V'yam HaKippurim. He denies his personal relation with God as well. And he has nothing. He has zero. You can't save half of the picture. There's Shofar of Yom Kippur, and there's Chatzotzros of Tisha B'Av. And in Migdosh, you combine them. Chatzotzros for Kol Shofar Lifnei Hashem. Because they have to be combined with Hashem ultimately. The two ways that man engages in his life in seeking perfection, both on a personal plane and also in terms of how he deals with reality. That's equally significant. That's the Chatzotzros. But it's a beautiful thing how the Torah set up two different instruments, each one to remind you of a different idea, a different concept. And yet they both combine in the Mikdash. And in the Mikdash and Rosh Hashanah, it's a mitzvah, it's called, and the Lama talking about the Chatzotzros. And it must be combined with the Chatzotzros, because the Chatzotzros are called Shofar Reel of Neim Al-Khadishim. Okay? All right. Okay, Brassel, let's ask more questions, or we go? Yeah. Okay, hold on 1 second. There's somebody has asking a question. Go ahead. Sargon, yeah.
Okay, just a question getting back to Eov. You had mentioned that the reason why I restored his things and gave him back and gave him the satisfaction at the end is because he was incomplete without that. Well, why couldn't you answer that it really is, it wasn't just that he should go to it, that he should continue with that suffering? Because you understand why we, we have the suffering because we have. That's why we're in Gaulis and that's why we lost the base of Mikdash and everything. For Eo, for him to have suffered, was not because of his chataim, it was because it was a test. That was, for him to be left in that state of suffering would be unjust.
No, I understand that. No, you're right. He definitely should not have gone on suffering. But it seems that he was blessed with new things to make him feel beyond not suffering. That's the way it seems from the end of Eov. I mean, you're right. You can't say he's going to go on suffering. That would be absurd. But it seems that he received the bracha beyond that which is not suffering. I think that's a demonstrated idea. By the way, the Rambam holds that Eov never existed as a person, but it was written as a mushroom. And it seemed, I think they're only going to hell the same way. And no, they're going to hell the opposite. Elolim mashalaya. Yeah, but that's also a similar idea, though. Elolim never elolim mashalaya, he says, yeah. But it's to bring out the idea. Yes?
Remember, yesterday you want to talk about the Mikdash burn?
How did that come in? Stress makes you because of the
utter destruction.
Mesa Mudlafana. Maybe that was the thing that you asked me at the end when I was leaving.
Yeah. Okay. How can you have that emotional attachment to it?
Yeah. Okay. So that one I'll just mention briefly. The idea of Sreifas Hamikdash, because actually I planned to give a different share today, but then didn't come out. I was going to go through all the things in the the 10 things that happened. Five on Shivas Batamas and five on Tisha B'Av. One of them is Hufka or Yerushalayim. Yud Zayin Batamas Chamisha Dvarim Irubo. Chamisha Dvarim Irubo. One was Nishtabru Haluchos. And the second was Ubat Latamin Bayas Rishon. And the other one was Vahufka Yerushalayim. Have you got a Yerushalmi here? Get me a Yirmiyahu. Yeah, Danny? Where's Danny Wolf? I don't know. Is Danny Wolf on the phone? Danny Wolf. Danny Wolf?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, right. Okay, where, the Yishalmi on the, where's the Yishalmi on the, on Hufka Yir? Where's the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu? Kol Shuke, Makol Shuke. Makol Shuke, Paragolf is Makol Shuke.
Makol Shuke, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so the Yishalmi mentions Hufka Yir. So, well, if you look through, where was it in Yirmiyahu? By Hufka Yir was where? Which paragraph was there? When it was Hufko Ir. See, what does Hufko Ir mean? It doesn't mean it was surrounded. It means it was broken into. It was broken into. And in Yirmiyahu, when they broke into the city, basically, they just took over the whole, city. The whole city. And it was the end, basically. See, Hufko Ir was really the end. In Bayis Rishon. And it would seem in Bayis Sheni too, because once you break into the city, that's it. It's gone. So our loss of the Mikdash was really when it was Hufko Ir. And if you read in Tanakh, how it happened, they all ran away and they escaped once it was Hufko Ir. And the question was, once they ran away, the question was, why did the enemy wait till Tisha B'Av? To, as a matter of fact, the Makel Shoke, the Yishalmi learns, was that it was just like an almond. You plant it one from the time that you have the flower to the fruit is 21 days, a certain amount of time. So too, the moment was Hufko Ir. That was it. That means that. That's where. I don't have the Yishalmi. Okay, that's Yishalmi when Chafa Mebez in Tainus. Okay. Yeah, where's the pasuk? Where is it? It's both? Okay, same thing. Okay. Alright, I won't say which one I'm reading from. But,
Nun Bey is the one that distinguishes between Vatibaka here and Estrefa.
So you see, once it was Hufko Ir, that was the end of it, basically. I mean, it was gone. Okay? So we lost the Mikdash, and that's what the Makel Shakeh of the Yishalmi means. It was predestined already Tisha B'Av. It's Machlegs, whatever. I'm not going to the Machlegs, but let's say it happened in Zion HaTamuz, going to one version of Yishalmi. That's what we'll say. It happened in Zion HaTamuz, and it was destined that the Sreifas Abayis was going to be already, was predestined. Sreifas Abayis is going to take place on Tisha B'Av, 3 weeks later. So what does this mean? So it means that so it means that we lost the Mikdash and Shavuos Batamos. But it means it's destined. I mean, it's gone. They all ran out of the city and they all ran away. And then what happened was that Nebuchadnezzar caught Titkiyahu and he blinded him. He killed his sons before his eyes and he blinded him and he put him in jail until he died. So then it says Vachodesh Achamishi Be'osho Vachodesh. Hishnas Shasri La Melech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bava Bonav Uzardon Rava Tabachim Omad of Ne Melech Bava Mitzrayim Vayisrof is Beis Hashem Vies Beis HaMelech Vies Kol Bote Yerushalayim Vies Kol Beis HaGodel Sarav Baish. So that was weeks later. So why did it take so long? Why did it take 3 weeks? I mean, basically once he broke in, he broke in. The answer was it was planned to be a special event. A special event of conquest and mockery and destruction of the Jewish house of worship of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why they waited, you see. And the riot from Rashi, because Rashi says, it says in the Pasuk, Ves Beis HaMelech, Ves Bodeshnoi, Ves Beis HaGadol, Sarf Ba'esh. So Rashi says, what's Ves Beis HaGadol? Yeshomim Bote Midrashos Shemegadlim Ba'enes HaTorah. It says, Yeshomim Bote Kinesios Shemegadlim Ben Tfilah. The Yeshom and Batim Midrashah Shemegadlam Banas HaTorah. So you see, it was something, an act against the Torah. A specific act against the Torah. So Sreifas HaMikdash is not simply the loss of the Mikdash. It's the recognition, the Misabel, on the fact that it was designated as a separate event, and it was something that was a degradation. Because what do we care what a Russia does? But it means to say that the whole Mikdash, and our purpose in the Mikdash, which is La'ine Kol Amim, was converted on just the opposite. And they planned a day of mockery and destruction and ridicule for the Beis Hashem. So that's really Sreifas HaMikdash. Sreifas HaMikdash is not simply the loss of the Mikdash, because Hufko Iyo was the loss. But Sreifas HaMikdash is the special event of the fact that the Sonim were able to accomplish it. But the interesting thing is that is considered our responsibility. That's considered our responsibility. The fact that they did that, and the loss of their the esteem of the Mikdash in their eyes, we're responsible for. It was because of Rachatoyim weren't able to bring them to the level of recognition. That's a different thing. That's another thing. Talk about another one. Believe that if I'm able to next session. Okay.